speaking, I want to make clear that this discussion, I understand what the council president is saying. My concern, and of course, I'm going to support a fellow colleague trying to get the best what's done for the constituents. I absolutely am working with and supporting my fellow council person. My concern with this ordinance, and it still remains, is that we are now putting timetables on things and putting on the shoulders of a DPW director or any other department head, but in this case, the DPW director. This is not a regular happening. This has not been brought up before. This was an unfortunate and unknown to me event. But to me, when we move forward ordinances, this is my discussion, my thinking, Mr. President. This is not, and I'm not saying that you're saying that I'm not supporting my colleague, and please don't take it that way. This is not me not supporting a colleague. This is me thinking of the ramifications and both sides of what Chairman Sinapi said and Councilman Rick said. And I agree with you. What's going on here? Why can't we move on? I asked that question about 20 times every meeting when we're here until 11:30, and I understand. But this is something that has to do with putting a cuff because of an incident, putting a cuff on a department. That, and this is not a common happening. From my understanding, this is not a happening that happens all the time. It's sped out of control, and I'm concerned about putting an ordinance on something where we are now saying someone is bound by a time without any, and again, if I, now to get technical, the one thing I think is, well, what if the it's not signed? So set approval, is that the city council, or is that the signing of the approval of the executive office? What if there's a follow investigation? What if something is, I have a lot of concerns with that. So that is me looking out for my colleagues, because I want to make sure that everything is done correctly, but also I want to think in the future of what this ordinance and the ramifications that this ordinance can have. Thank you.
Councilman Ricks.
So, who was Councilwoman Travis? I want to make sure everyone gets to talk first at least once.
Sure.
Councilwoman Travis?
It's my turn?
For now.
All right. First of all, there's no disrespect to Councilman Lattisore, because I know how hard he works in Ward 5. And it's pretty obvious he has a lot of stuff here, and he's upset about some of this stuff. But I think even the council president just mentioned it. All the years I've been on, we didn't need an ordinance or a resolution to get something done. Now, even in the past administration, I don't care if it was Public Works, if it was Parks and Rec, I went there with a list. And I told them when I have a book, I'll show you. 3 pages. The first page went to the director. The second page might have went to a constituent if they didn't believe I did something. The third one was my copy. If something wasn't done, I went to the department head directly. Didn't do no resolution. Didn't do no ordinances. I mean, we got, and again, no disrespect. I know he's trying to get his work done, but we got street signs with crosswalks, stop signs. We never had to do this. Now think of this. If each one of us got as mad as he did, and he put 5 or 6 things in, now we're going to have 40 more things on the list that we should just go to the department head and get it done. We shouldn't have to sit here, talk about each one of these. Now, I support the other one because he had a traffic study done. It got approved. It's not up yet, or if, I don't even know if it's not up yet. He says it's not up yet. Fine. I support something like that. But for each one of these, that just get it done with the department heads. And if they don't do it, then I would go to the administration and say, I want something done. I want it done now. That's how I've always done it. That's how I took care of my people on Ward 6. And I think if each one of us were to add 5 or 6 more things to this thing, we would never get out of here. We would never finish our stuff. So I just think that's the proper way of going it. And that if we do each one of these, start voting for this, what is going to say? Somebody's going to say, oh, Councilman Lattisore got his thing done. Why don't you do that? And then it just makes it hard. Let's do it the way we always did it. You got to go by the director heads, ordinances and resolutions are done a certain way, and that's how we should continue doing them. Thank you.
All right. Councilman Lattiser.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chairman. First of all, Mr. Chairman, I resent your comment that this ordinance is no more than a vendetta. And if you think that it's silly, that's fine. You can handle it in your ward any way you'd like. I don't think it's silly, and it's not a vendetta. And
I view it as good government. Stop for a second. Point of order. I actually clarified my comments on the vendetta thing. I said it was a package, not this one on its own. In fact, I made that abundantly clear. So you can stop saying that.
Fine. So you cleared it on your side. I'm clearing it on my side. And it is not silly to take whatever steps you need, you, me, as a council person, to protect the interests of the people in my ward. In addition to that, we have passed numerous ordinances over the last several years. As a matter of fact, as when Mayor Solomon was Council President Solomon, we passed ordinances, and before he was Council President, that require department heads to be present at a city council meeting and at the committee meetings. We have passed ordinances that require the council be notified, I believe it was within 5 days, of a transfer of an employee, whether that employee, a department head, let me reclassify that, of a department head. We have passed ordinances that require accountability. This isn't about a vendetta. This is about accountability. And we do this in the private sector. And people do a good job. But people also need to have accountability. And when you have a situation such as a traffic stop sign that has been deemed necessary to protect the health and safety of your constituents, then I don't think anyone would expect that to take 3 or 4 months to have a sign put up. So this isn't silly, looking to have legislation passed that simply requires accountability, such as we did in the past. There's been several ordinances that we've passed in this council since I've been on that focus on accountability. Accountability to this council so that we know when a new hire comes into place. This is about protecting the safety of not just my ward and not just for this council or for this administration. This is asking for responsibility when you have an issue of safety that it's acted on in a responsible time frame. Now, perhaps we differ on what that time frame should be, and I'll be happy to entertain an amendment to the time frame. We may differ whether someone's going to go to jail or not. So I suppose that statement would also carry forward to many of the other ordinances that we've passed, such as the one I just mentioned about notifying this council within 5 days. Has anyone gone to jail for not doing that? No, of course not. So I am certainly willing to enter into the spirit of compromise on this to attain a common goal. And that common goal is to have some governance and to have some clarification and to issue an expectation from the legislative branch of government to the department heads, in this particular case, to the Director of Public Works, an expectation of this governing body that there is a time frame that is going to be required to get this done. I understand what Councilman Rick said. There's a possibility of frozen ground. There's always that possibility. And I have no problem with an amendment stating weather permitting. This isn't about being unreasonable. This is about taking a precaution, exercising our responsibility as an elected official to do what we can do to ensure that these types of things are taken care of in a timely fashion. So, having said that, I don't have a problem with holding this till the first meeting of March. I will certainly entertain any suggestions with respect to time frame or exceptions or exclusions and revisit it. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Yeah, and just to be clear, my take on this is that it is not a ward issue, given that this isn't worded for a ward issue. This is worded for citywide. And I can't speak to ordinances these prior city councils passed without me, but I wouldn't have passed one like this. So regardless of what you have passed prior, that's your business. This isn't something that I'd pass in its current form, although I very much appreciate your willingness to compromise. That's exactly what we need, and hopefully we can find a version of this that works. And I believe you said the first meeting of March?
Make a motion. I request to hold till March 4th, is it?
March 9th.
Mr. Chairman, I just wanted to comment one.
Council President?
Yep. So I was just going to say, in this spirit of compromise and to address Councilman Sinapi's issue with regard to fines and jail time, that can be an amendment in this ordinance that it carries no fines and it carries no jail time. Thank you.
Agreed.
Councilman Howe.
Make a motion to hold PCO 4-20 until March 9th.
Second.
Per request of the sponsor. I apologize, Chair.
All right, there was a motion made and seconded. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Thank you.
Next, we have a resolution relative to the installation of a cross. Oh, nope. Strike that. Next, we have PCR 16-18, tree damage claims. Councilman McAllister.
Request to move the pending file. Per request of the sponsor, move PCR 16-18
to
pending file.
Second.
Motion made and seconded. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. PCR 10-20, a resolution relative to the installation of a crosswalk in the vicinity of 333 Sandy Lane. Councilman Lattiser.
Hold till March, what did we just say? March 9th.
Per request of the sponsor, hold PCR 10-20 until March 9th.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. PCR 12-20, a resolution relative to the installation of a street sign at Lenox Avenue and Warwick Neck Avenue. Councilman Latson.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chair. This is the same issue, and to pick up on some of the previous comments, there has been numerous requests via email to getting this sign reinstalled at Lenox Avenue in Warwick Neck Avenue. This is the entrance to Warwick Neck School. This is an elementary school. There was a sign there prior. The sign was put up there prior because of difficulties for people who are not familiar with that area, possibly being able to locate the school. This school, particularly in the peak season, the school is virtually unnoticeable from the street because of the foliage. There is no sign other than maybe a 10-inch by 12-inch sign that identifies it as Warwick Neck School. I have a letter of support from the crossing guard requesting that this street sign be reinstalled. I also have the support of several people from Warwick Neck School. What happened to the sign was a school bus took the sign out. A school bus cut the corner a little bit too much and basically bent the sign over so that you could not see it. I received a request from one of my constituents to get this sign taken care of. I immediately sent the request to DPW via email to the Director of Public Works and asked that the sign be relocated. It didn't. It didn't get relocated. The bent over sign didn't get taken or removed. Ultimately, it did. And this goes back to 5 months, 4 months, 5 months, and we still don't have a sign there. I have copied and sent emails on this request. I have indicated it is a safety issue. If there is an emergency at this school, which we all live it every day, that there could be some sort of an emergency at this school that requires either parents or folks who are in charge of taking care of these youngsters to get to that school and find it in some sort of an emergency, and there isn't even a street sign there, come on. These are safety issues. And yeah, you're all right. We shouldn't have to be here. We shouldn't have to be on the floor dealing with this. We shouldn't be getting ignored on our emails and our requests with no answer, no reply. So this is another situation where I am asking that these signs be put up. The Do Not Enter sign is on the Rocky Point side of Warwick Neck School. Those two signs, Do Not Enter signs, they were put up there at my request when I first got elected. And the request came from the staff and the principal at Warwick Neck School because you would have parents and people who are dropping off students drive in through that rear entrance. The kids are in the parking lot and the cars are driving into that entrance. And it's extremely dangerous for those kids. And it had been an ongoing problem and it didn't get resolved. And we did request and do a traffic study to get those Do Not Enter signs put up. The traffic study was completed, came back with favorable action, and it was a very prompt response. Those signs got installed. This one particular sign was knocked down. I have no idea why. It was, in fact, someone did finally remove it. There is no Do Not Enter sign put back up again. This doesn't make sense. And because of that, I am here with a resolution asking for the installation of these signs to take place without delay. We can't use the reasoning or rationale that the ground is frozen. We can't install the signs. The ground wasn't frozen in October and November, and the ground isn't frozen to the point now where you can't drive these steel pipes into the ground to install a sign. So I can't give you the reason why they're not done. All I can tell you is they are not done, and they need to be done. Thank you.
So I've been informed that these signs have both been installed. So unless you want to have this put in the pending file, I plan to move
her on. Say that again?
I've been informed that these signs have been both installed. So unless you request to have this put into the pending file, I'm going to request unfavorable action.
Oh, really? And who informed you that they were installed?
This isn't a Q&A.
And what time? Because I go by there every day, Councilman, and those signs were not installed there as of 10-ish or 11-ish this morning. So if they were installed, they were installed since then, and I was never notified of it. So my question to you is, who notified you that those signs have been installed, and when were they installed?
So I'm not the DPW director. Those questions are better directed towards him.
But he's not here.
And as I was saying, personally, I'm not informed moment to moment when signs are installed in my ward either. If that's a privilege you have, good for you, but I don't have it. Do you want to move this to the pending file or no?
No.
All right, so I call the vote on unfavorable action. Good point.
Favorable action for what?
Other members of the committee have any comments or questions?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Councilman Lattiser. I want you to know that I came across the exact same situation, but I think you answered the question. You said that there was a traffic study backing up the Do Not Enter sign at the school?
That was a long time ago, Councilman.
Okay.
When I first got elected.
Thank you, sir. So the reason why I'm asking is I had this exact same situation at Lippitt. A parent was very frustrated, called and said, you know, cars are going in through the do not enter. And I was informed by the traffic officer he could not enforce it because the ordinance wasn't updated with the hours that they put on the do not enter. So I'm not debating this. I'll definitely, you know, but I think what it comes down to is, you're right, the communication side needs to get better. But if there's a way that the, if there's a traffic study that says that do not enter sign coordinates with the traffic study. So I'm not asking this to stall. I'm not asking this to wait longer. I'm asking if there's if it specifically says the do not enter for that entrance, because I, if you remember, Councilman, you actually guided me on this. Mm-hmm. When I had the issue at Lippitt Elementary School, I actually had to go ahead and do a specific do not enter between certain times for them to have it enforceable, and that's all I'm asking.
Mr. Chair, so based upon your comments that you've received information that those signs have been installed, which would have to be sometime today, I will, but I'll make a motion to hold until March 9th, and tomorrow morning, I will certainly, tonight, because I'm going right by it tonight, I will validate whether your information is accurate or not. So I would request, out of respect to my resolution in the fact that the last time, which was hours ago, that signs weren't there, that we hold this until March 9th.
And motion
if those
by
signs
sponsor.
Are up, I'll withdraw.
I'm sorry, Mr. Chairman, I cut you off. Go ahead.
I said, if those signs are installed when I get by there tonight on March 9th, I'll withdraw.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Recommend hold PCR 12-20 until March 9th per request of the sponsor.
Second.
Motion made and seconded. All in favor?
Aye.
Thank you.
Last, we have PCR 21-20, resolution relative to claims. Mary McGann, it's safe to say Mary McGann is not here. All right, just checking. So she requested this to be held until March 9th, 2020. So we need a motion to hold.
Hold PCR 21-20 until March 9th per request of the claim.
Second.
Motion made and seconded. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Public safety adjourns at 9 p.m.
The Intergovernmental Committee meets, starts at 9:02. First thing on the agenda is the acceptance of the minutes from the meeting on February 3rd.
I move acceptance of the meeting's minutes of February 3rd.
Second. All in favor?
Aye.
Abstain.
The first item on the agenda is PCO 3-20, an ordinance amending Chapter 2, Article 1, Councilman Lattiser. It is ordinance amending Chapter 2, Article 1, having would require the director of DPW.
Okay, thank you. Got it. Got it. So the reasoning for this is parallel to why we have the other department heads coming before us quarterly. I know I did put monthly down here, but we have four different department heads coming before us now to give us quarterly reports. And they have been very productive. Initially, it started out with the sewer authority. And the reasonings then were much different than I believe they are today. But it proved to be very beneficial. As a matter of fact, at the time, Councilman Solomon had also required, I believe it was the director, I'm sorry, the engineer of DPW to appear before before us to update us on the happenings from the engineering portion of the department. And that also has been very informative, very productive, and we do have a very good exchange of dialogue. We get updated on issues that we don't always have the time to reach out for updates. We have conversations that we don't always have time to have with some of the department heads. In this particular ordinance, I'm making the request because, as you know, we've recently passed the approval for a $10 million asphalt budget. And we all certainly agree and know that the roads are in very bad condition throughout the city. It isn't just an individual ward issue. And we have other issues, stormwater management. We have issues of vehicles. This evening, where we just voted on a $60,000 pickup truck that DPW needs, and I'm sure there's other equipment that they need aside of a pickup truck. And I think that it would be beneficial to us and to DPW to have these conversations right here in the chamber. I think it's beneficial and also important that we all receive updates on how the $10 million is being spent, where it's spent, the asphalt paving calendar, criteria, I'm blanking out on the word I'm looking for, but schedule, the asphalt paving schedule, what's going to be done, when's it going to be done, because it's important that we are able to answer our constituents' questions when they call. When's my road going to get repaved? Is it on the list? If it's not, why? And the director of DPW is here monthly anyways. So I just think that it would be very good in the sense of open dialogue and a great opportunity for us to have these discussions about the needs in our wards as well as the needs of the department. It isn't about calling someone to the podium to have issues or to challenge or to question or to argue about what is right or wrong or what you're getting or not getting. We certainly can do that anytime we want through a resolution. So it's about doing what we're doing with the other departments, the sewer department, the water department, the engineering department, just following that same protocol. I am flexible with the reporting process. I would even suggest that perhaps if you choose to support this, that we may even do it on a rotating schedule so we don't have four department heads coming here or five, I even lose track of which it is now. One, two, three. Yes, it is four. We have MIS also coming here for the same reasons, to provide us with insight as to what they're doing, what they need, what their equipment status is, their conditions, et cetera, et cetera. So I'm simply looking to mirror what we do in these other departments. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. Does anyone on the committee have any questions of the sponsor? Yes. Mr. Howell.
Thank you, Chairman. Again, this is, I can definitely understand. I have a concern. I would like to bring up some maybe rewording of this to where it maybe was a quarterly presentation. I can tell you right now that my personal feeling, and this is not speaking ill, this is just being my strong personal feeling, the climate of the council right now to set this up. We just sent for the second time in a row department heads, those previous mentioned department heads, on their way because this meeting again is going long, the committees are going long. The DPW director handles the largest department. I would be open to quarterly reports. I think monthly, quite honestly, Councilman Lattiser, monthly is unrealistic, but also just, I think, targeting one department over others. The second thing that I'm concerned about is that, you know, there's a lot of things, I think, like having everyone come up and present to the council where there can be more constructive ways of getting the information and also getting the concerns. I just don't, again, this is an ordinance that I'm concerned with. So I would promote that it be quarterly and also an appointee of the director of DPW. I understand what you're saying, the DPW director is here anyway, but I certainly don't want to set anything up to where basically if something doesn't get done that we're attacking the one person who's actually running an entire city, or where it becomes a hostile, if you will, thing where one becomes the next. But I do understand your comments when it comes to identifying every department, as we do with MIS, engineering, sewer, and the water. Sewer and water being somewhat separate entities. So I'd be down to amend and look at this and further discuss it. Thank you.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
I have no problem to amend it to a quarterly report. Again, the intent is to have the same discussion, respectful discussion, respectful questions and answers that we do with the other departments, where we initially started with the sewer department, and because those quarterly reports were found productive by three of us who were on the council at that time, that continued and emulated into having three other departments come before us as well. So I would certainly have no problem with making the amendment to a quarterly report.
Does anyone else on the council have any? Yes, Councilman Sinapi.
You really had to check my nameplate. So rather than rehash everything I just hashed out in the last one, because this is an ordinance, all the same problems exist. For instance, I guess arguably from a different perspective, if you look at it, so there's no exceptions or anything like that to a violation of this ordinance. So for instance, tonight, for those who are watching from home, most if not all of the directors who were supposed to give a report tonight were told, go home, you know, so you're not here forever. It's fine, fair, makes sense. So if we did that for the DPW director under this ordinance, he doesn't get a pass. He just violated the ordinance still. It doesn't matter that we told him it was okay. He's still in violation. So as with the last ordinance that the sponsor agreed to hold so we can fix things like that and in the spirit of compromise, and as he already pointed out, there's some changes he'd like to see made. Well, there's some changes that he'd be amenable to. Sorry. I think it would be better to hold this so we can get those changes done. That way it's in line with the other things. That being said, you've already heard my spiel on my view of this bill and the ones like it, but again, trying to speak on the good positive parts at least, and I think the compromise can be done as long as it's held and it's not rushed.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes, Councilor Lattimore, sir.
No problem holding till March 9th, but before I make that motion, to the Council Solicitor, Bill, could you just confirm that the department heads that come before us now, could you confirm whether they're an ordinance or a resolution?
I currently have before me Chapter 66, Section 6, which governs the quarterly reports by the Director of the Warwick Sewer Authority and the Chief of the Water Division to the City Council. This was enacted by ordinance back in 2014. Okay. So to answer your question, these are done by ordinance.
Thank you. I was pretty sure they were ordinances. Thank you. But I'll request to hold till March 9th.
Per request of the sponsor, hold PCO 3-20 till March 9th.
Second.
Excuse me, Mr. Chair. I'm thinking on this now, in the time frame between now and when this was due, I think it'd be more appropriate to hold till March 24th.
Second.
March 23rd.
I'm sorry, 23rd.
Councilman Lattiser, do you want us to entertain the amendment tonight?
I have last year's.
Well, that's last year's.
What do you want to?
Let's just hold it, and we'll come back with everything at once. March 23rd.
Okay, Mr. Chairman, I withdraw my previous motion and make a new motion to hold PCO 3-20 until March 23rd. Correct, Councilman Lattiser?
Yes.
Thank you, sir.
A second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Okay, the next item is PCR 180-19, resolution to the General Assembly, requesting a waiver slash exemption to ride regulations requirements not drafted. Councilman Lattiser?
Request to put in a pending file.
Per sponsor.
Request PCR 180-19 move to the pending file.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Next item is PCR 14-20, a resolution by the Warwick City Council urging the governor not to raise the amount a veteran pays to live in the Rhode Island Veterans Home. Councilman Howe.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I think all the information I gave is pretty clear. If there's questions, I welcome them, but I do want to say that as much as I do not like when we get unfunded mandates sent down to us, or which I consider to be the same thing as saying something, this is something I feel we all have to voice our opinion on. I realize this is a state issue, but more than ever, it's a community issue. This is a serious, what this does is it just sets up the disabled veteran, and I'll give it to you in the very simple complex. The federal government gives a veteran a compensation for disabilities earned while in service. That veteran is then paid if they get a 100%, it's on a rating scale from 0 to 100%. Compensation comes in percentages. If a veteran gets 100% of that, 80% goes to the state of Rhode Island to live at the veteran's home. What the proposal does is it takes the entire 100% amount and then turns around and increases their stipend from $150 to $300. So the state in turn is taking almost $4,000 stipend and giving $300 to run a veterans home that we committed to run in the first place for the veterans who were disabled at the worst disabilities rated 100%. This is basically using the veteran as a conduit just for more federal funding. And it's not putting in for grants, it's just putting the burden once again on the most vulnerable citizens, our senior citizens and our veterans, or our senior citizens who are veterans, and our young veterans who are disabled 100% rated by the Veterans Administration, compensated by the Veterans Administration for the time and the injuries incurred. So what this does is this, we are basically requesting that the governor do not put that burden on them, and they find other places and other ways to cut and find that money to keep the services of one of the greatest that I was very proud to help get the funding for veterans homes and most modern veterans homes in the country. I did have a request, Mr. Solicitor and Madam Clerk, that we add Ward 7 and Ward 4.
4 and 7.
Oh. Ward 6, thank you.
Ward 5.
Thank you, sir. Thank you, Councilman Sinapi, Councilwoman Travis, Councilman Lattiser, Councilman, okay, everybody, thank you. Thank you.
Okay, so everyone's going to be co-sponsors. And does anyone on the committee have any questions or comments? Does anyone on the council? Yes. Mr. McAllister.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I just want to thank Councilman Howe for bringing this forward. This is a very important issue. I know that you are a very good advocate for the veteran community, and I was fairly certain we would get everybody to co-sponsor this, but I appreciate you allowing me to get on this, and I commend you for bringing this forward. So thank you, sir.
Well, I thank you, Councilman, for being one of the first to come up, as well as Councilman McElroy.
So,
Councilman Sinapi.
You want to look at my nameplate this time, or you got it? Just one quick thing. My uncle was actually on the radio for this today. He's a former National Guardsman. So keep up the good work. I know he's fighting on his end. The whole thing, he's explained it to me at length. This whole situation is ridiculous, the fact that it exists in the first place. So I applaud you for putting this forward. And I'm glad you were willing to let us all be a co-sponsor.
Councilman, and I applaud and thank you all for co-supporting it. Thank you.
Councilman Latta, sir.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Councilman Howe, so I think this is particularly important that you, as a combat veteran, sponsored this resolution. You know what it takes. You know the pain and suffering. And it is because of our veterans, such as yourself and all of those veterans that are in that veterans home, the Rhode Island veterans home, it's because of all of you and all of them that we're able to sit here and have these debates that we have. Whether we agree or we disagree, it's not the substance. It's about the reason that we're able to do that. And the only reason we're able to do that is because of the veterans that fought to keep us free. This is a significant piece of legislation. While it seems to be words, has a lot more than words to me, and I'm sure it does to all of us. So as a combat veteran, I thank you for doing this, and I think it's most appropriate that you are the one to sponsor it. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Councilman, and that's an honor coming from a crusty Marine like yourself.
Is there anyone else?
Yes.
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 Yes, Mr. President.
Yeah, thank you. I had a constituent that was a veteran from Pottawamat, and I used to visit him quite often until he passed away a couple of years ago at the veterans home. And I can't say enough about the work that they did there. And also what the conditions were like in the old veterans home. And he was able to move into one of the newer buildings that they built there because of a bond referendum the state put up. And the facilities were night and day. And I know what it was like for his family because I used to visit with them up there, and his wife in particular, because they would supplement everything that wasn't going on. And those type of funds you're talking about that get taken out, that you don't get back, you can supplement. You still need toothbrushes and toothpaste and clothing and all the other things that the veterans home doesn't provide to you, deodorant, maybe extracurricular activities where they might want to do something. So I know every dollar not only counts to the veteran, but it also counts to their family, because their family might be at home struggling to make ends meet without a person that can provide for them. So I'm glad to be a co-sponsor with you.
Thank you, Mr. President.
I just want to comment that my quick math tells me that this would raise $125,000 for the state, which is not a lot of money. And for the 200 soldiers that were using the veterans home because they had to, and maybe because of they had to because of the service they gave to this country, is trying to raise $125,000 the wrong way, in my view. I think that we should hold our veterans out as heroes and not as reaching into their wallet and taking some of the money that the federal government gives them in order to survive. Is there anyone from the public that wants to be heard on this? Okay, do we have a motion?
Move for favorable action on PCR 14-20.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Thank you all.
And that closes the meeting at 9:24.
It is now 9:25. The Appointments Committee is now in session. The first order of business is the acceptance of the minutes from the committee meeting held on December 2nd, 2019. Do I hear a motion?
Move to accept.
Second.
Hearing a motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Okay, the first item on appointments is an appointment to the Land Trust Commission, Martha Cruciani. Come down. Hi, Martha. Could you come over to the microphone? Hi, Martha.
Hi.
Thank you for coming in to offer to serve on this commission. Would you like to tell us something about yourself?
Sure.
Just briefly.
Briefly. Martha Cruciani. I'm a retired school psychologist. I used to do a lot of hiking. I'm very impressed with your land trust, especially your appointee, Leslie, and would like to join them in protecting open space.
Thank you very much. Any questions from the committee?
I just want to thank you for volunteering to serve on this that board and for your service to our city. And I saw that you worked in the Warwick School Department as well, not your psychology you mentioned, but for the Warwick School Department. So thank you for your past service and your current service and your future service.
Thank you.
I would certainly echo my colleague. Thank you for your service. The Land Trust Commission, it is an important commission here in the city. And I understand that at some of their meetings, they've had trouble making it to a quorum. So thank you for stepping up.
Thank you for appointing me.
Any other questions from the council?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'd like to say, Martha, I had the honor of serving with you on the Lands Trust Committee. And the reason why you were one of the reasons why we started, or one of the people, I apologize, one of the people we created the at-large position, we created two of them so that we could make sure that there were people in the land trust and it was being well represented, and it was this council that passed that. So I'm happy to see that you're moving up to the actual committee, and congratulations. And I do know what kind of person and what you bring to that land trust, and I'm excited to vote for you in the affirmative. Thank you.
Any other questions or comments?
Don?
Any other questions?
Yes. Oh, go ahead.
Just briefly, Martha's been one of the people I've spoken to since being elected. I think probably the first one who demonstrated a very strong interest in land conservation, taught me a lot about pollination, hedges, solar farms, and how you can actually help wildlife. There's a lot to learn. I'm very uneducated on the topic, but not so much now thanks to her. I don't think we'd ask for more from her and the other appointees as far as passion, especially, I mean, for those who don't know, this committee, it's my understanding that it's been operating or hasn't been able to operate because it hasn't had a quorum. And so these three individuals, Martha included, had the passion and drive to step forward and actually help out the city and serve it without asking for anything in return. I think that says a lot about them all.
Yes. Thank you. I've known Martha for probably over 25 years. She lives in my ward. She's been instrumental in the Wildlife Conservation Committee and working on trails throughout Rhode Island, not just in Warwick. Has worked with Clouds Hill Farm very closely. And, of course, is very interested in preserving property. When I created the land trust, I don't know how many years ago it was, probably about 20 years ago, We had the goal of preserving property around Warwick. And I can say that with the help of the land trust, we've preserved hundreds of acres. I think probably one of the centerpieces of preservation was at Rocky Point. I know that they were in support of that, and when the federal government stepped up, it was relieved a heavy burden along with the state bond. But it's important for quality of life. It's important for the ecosystem. It's important for water quality. You can't underestimate how important the preserving of that land is. Not to mention when the land gets developed, the costs that get put on all taxpayers, in particular with residential developments. I think right now we're up to about $18,000 for one student. So if you build a four-bedroom house, nobody's paying close to $60,000 for four kids. But in any event, I appreciate all your service, and Martha, and wholeheartedly support your appointment.
Thank you.
Any other questions from the council? Any questions or comments from the public? Hearing none, do I hear a motion?
Move favorable action.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Martha, thank you very much for coming and serving. Nathan Cornell.
Hello.
Hi, Nathan. Thank you very much for coming forward for this commission. I believe most of us here know you. If you want to just give a few sentences on why you want to be on this commission.
Well, I'm interested in being on this commission because, like, I'm very much interested in land preservation. Like, for years, I've witnessed how a lot of forest and open space and work has been lost due to development, and especially now, I think it's important that we conserve some of the land to preserve for future generations.
Thank you very much. Any questions from the committee?
Good evening, Nathan. Thank you for agreeing to serve on this commission. My only question is, as an elected official, do we check to make sure that you can serve on this board?
Yes, there's nothing in the city charter that says, like, elected officials cannot serve on boards. For example, I'm aware that in previous years, like, for example, elected officials served on the Charter Review Commission, which is an appointed board.
Okay. Thank you.
Mr. Chair, that's something that would need to be confirmed, because when I was elected to the city council, I was the co-chair of the Building Code Board of Appeals, and I had to resign my position on that board after getting elected. So I'm not disputing Nathan and his appointment. I supported Nathan when he ran for school committee, and I still support him. But I just wouldn't want to see anyone get into an issue, and I'm just sharing with you what occurred when I was elected. I had to resign from the Building Code Board of Appeals.
Bill, do you have anything to say on that?
I assume you said my name. You're looking at me. You're talking to Bill? Fine, I'll wait, Bill.
The qualifications for the land trust are set out in our ordinances, Chapter 51, Section 53, about the qualifications for appointment, and it does not restrict, under our ordinances, the ability of an otherwise elected member from serving.
Thank you to the to our City Council solicitor for providing an answer to that. I would also add that I certainly don't see any conflict that would prevent Nathan from serving. I'd like to thank Nathan for stepping up to take on the additional responsibilities on the Land Trust Commission, in addition to his responsibilities on the school committee. And I would also like to wish him a happy birthday.
Oh, thank you.
Any other questions from the council?
Well, Councilman Rick just stole my thunder. I was going to wish you a happy birthday as well, Nathan, but I want to, on a more important note, say that it is, you continue to amaze me by participating in the city at the young age, and I want you to keep on doing that to be a role model for people of your age category. It's especially important at this time in our country's history. Thank you.
Thank you.
Councilman Sinapi.
So he's a glutton for punishment. He's on the school committee. He's spent like almost 6 hours of his birthday here. So he obviously is passionate about this and everything else he does for the city. So I think, as with the prior appointee and with the next one, it's always good to see passion, especially on boards that don't necessarily sound sexy or glamorous. The Land Trust Commission doesn't make it any less vital, especially when we have plenty of issues related to this that need to be addressed. So obviously a thank you to School Committee Ben Cornell for this and all that he does.
Councilman Lattiser.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So Nathan, I'm particularly glad that we cleared up that slight little question. I supported you when you ran for school committee. You are a very impressive young man. You are very diligent at what you do. You're passionate, you're focused, and you are just a real asset to this city and to what our goals are and our missions are, and a fantastic example for the young folks that you surround yourself with. And I'm certainly happy to support you for this position as well.
Thank you.
Thanks, Mr. Chairman. Nathan, I just want to tell you I'd support your appointment also. I wish you good luck. I hope you don't get burnt out with everything you're doing, including going to college and what you're doing with the school committee. And I was happy to talk to you during one of the breaks here at the council chamber, and your enthusiasm hopefully will carry over into some really good planning for the land trust. And if you need any help, I think we're all would agree that we'll all be here to do the best we can. I know that one of the issues in the past has been funding for the land trust and for the lack of funding that's been in the budget in the past. So when you get together, if there are specific things that you might need as far as funding, we might be able to consider that in the budget that's coming up in May. And I wish you good luck.
Thank you.
Anna.
I completely agree. There is a lot of work to be done.
Any other questions from the council? Any questions or comments from the public? Hearing none, do I hear a motion?
Move favorable action.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Thank you.
Daniel Fagan. Hi, Mr. Fagan. Thanks for offering to serve on this commission. Do you have anything you could tell us about yourself?
I know I could top everybody else that's been up, but Martha kind of inspired me to come on to the thing. I've already been on the East Natick Village Association, appointed by Chafee back in 20 years ago to do, and it just seems like a worthwhile cause to try to preserve some land as being a lifelong Warwick resident.
Thank you very much. Any comments from the committee?
Thank you for serving.
Similarly, thank you for stepping up to serve on this important commission.
Okay. Thank you.
Any comments from the council?
Anthony. Chairman. Sorry.
Anthony.
Is that it? So all I want to point out is, similar to the other appointees, obviously has passion and drive, especially willingness to serve on, again, the Land Trust Committee. I feel like I'm bagging on that commission today, but I really am not meaning to. He already even attended a meeting, liked it so much he wanted to join. Who could say that about most of these committees? So I think it's nice to have people willing to participate, especially when they're already committed to other things, like in his case, a neighborhood association. On the way, they have two active ones in my ward. And, it's always a good sign to see people branching out even more than they already are and getting more involved than they already are. And hopefully people take a sign of that and join suit.
Any questions or comments from the public? Hearing none, do we hear a motion?
Move favorable action.
Second.
Hearing a motion and a second, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Thank you very much. Let's begin. The Committee on Appointments closes at 9:42 p.m.
The time is 9:43. The City Council Committee on Public Properties, Land Use, and Community Affairs comes to order. First, acceptance of the minutes from the committee meeting held on February 3rd, 2019.
Move acceptance.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Next, PCO 22-19, sub A, ordinance relative to council office space. This is up for second passage as amended. Councilman Lattiser.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. As you are all aware, we had unanimous passage, or first passage, on this ordinance with actually a lot of dialogue. And after unanimous approval on first passage, the mayor, a few days later, executed an executive order establishing a council office space and outlining some of the criteria in our or in my ordinance, which you all approved. But I would point out that there is an entire section of the ordinance was not included in the executive order. While I'm sure the intent was all good, the language that is missing is the City Council shall provide office space which is no less than 400 square feet, the size of the space, the location in the same building as the tax assessor, tax collector, building department. The office space shall consist of two spaces. That language was not in the executive order. And this is not just about memorializing this into an ordinance for this council. This is about memorializing this into an ordinance for future councils, for those that are going to come after us, for the mayor's office that will come after us. And there's an old saying that I learned a long time ago, he who giveth can taketh away. And that's not to say that this would occur on our watch, but an executive order can be changed, modified, or rescinded at any time down the road by a new mayor, by this mayor. And without memorializing this into an ordinance, this could be subject to change at any time going down the road. The City Council office space could be relocated anywheres. And again, the concern is for the future councils, for the future councilors coming after us, that will be assured of a respectable office space, an office space that is in proximity to the other departments, particularly that our legislative affairs director is in communication with on a daily basis, if not an hourly basis, to provide a location for the city council that, as I know many of us do, meet with our constituents and meet with department heads in the council office space now. And it's most convenient because we can simply dial a phone number and they can walk across the hall or from the corner of the building. Obviously, we don't have everyone in the space because the space isn't conducive for all the departments. But at some point in time, we may have the annex building either rebuilt or a new building. And all of our departments will be in one building. And I think it's most important that the city council office space is in that same building as those other department heads. So I'm simply asking that we move favorable action and memorialize this ordinance that we all unanimously approved upon first passage and put this on the books. Thank you.
Thank you. I know that we had an extensive discussion of this the first time around. We had amendments, and I think that especially because the City Council passed it unanimously, I think that it was thoroughly considered, especially after that lengthy discussion. I would urge my colleagues to keep any further discussion on this matter brief unless there's a reason to otherwise. And I think that for the reasons as stated by Councilman Lattiser, that it is entirely appropriate to continue with passage, especially for the sake of memorializing this, as the City Council has the ability to enact or repeal its own ordinances, whereas any executive order can simply be done by another executive order at any point by any person holding that office in the future. For those reasons,
For favorable action.
I'm sorry. First, I should ask, any questions or discussion from members of the committee, from members of the council, from members of the public? Seeing none, I would entertain a motion.
Move favorable action.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Thank you.
Next item, second on the agenda, PCO 26-19, an ordinance amending the zoning of the City of Warwick, Sundown Corporation, for second passage, Councilwoman Travis.
Favorable action.
Councilwoman Travis requests favorable action. Any questions or comment from members of the committee? Members of the council? Members of the public?
I would move favorable action.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Third, PCO 27-19 sub A, an ordinance amending the zoning of the City of Warwick, Zarella Development Corporation. This is Councilman Snappy, and this is a second passage as amended. Let's see. Any questions or comments from members of the committee? Members of the council? Members of the public? This has been extensively discussed at the previous meeting. I would entertain a motion.
I move favorable action.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Item 4, PCR 182-19, resolution regarding lease Cooper Building. This is not drafted. Councilman Lattiser.
Hold to March 24th.
I would move that we hold it to March 24th at the
second.
Sponsor's request. 23rd, yes, 23rd.
Sorry. 23rd, I keep saying the 24th.
We have a motion to hold on behalf of the sponsor to March 23rd. So held. What am I doing? Is there a motion?
I move that we hold it to March 23rd.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Fifth and final item on the agenda, PCR 7-20, Omnibus Resolution of Congratulations and Condolences. This is the standard resolution that this committee passes on behalf of the City Council. Any discussion or comment from members of the committee? From members of the council?
I just want to congratulate you for bringing this. Congratulations to us.
Although my name is on it, I really did nothing. Thank you to the city clerk and the city council solicitor for making sure that I was drafted properly and properly posted.
I would move for favorable action.
Second.
Any comment from members of the public? Hearing none, we may now move.
I move favorable action.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. And that concludes the City Council Committee meeting on Land Use, Public Properties, and Community Affairs at 9:52 p.m.